My name's Mike Dassett. I'm a fisherman here out of Belfast. I've been fishing for about 30 years in this bay. I'll start right up front. I noticed you had the sampling from the mercury study. First of all, I'm going to inform you, you're missing two sites in that video. One site that you're missing is a very important site, because that happens to be where some of the harvest officers were coming out of. And I really would like to know why that one is up on your little PowerPoint. The site was what we call Southwest Sears Island. I've been involved in that mercury study since 2007. So I think you might want to do a little more homework on that. My biggest concern is why there's a lot of taxpayer dollars being used to fund a private business for shipping, exporting, and importing. You're asking a lot of people who pay taxes, who fish in this water, to basically take a chance of being put out of business. The lobstering industry and all the other fishing industries are public resource. We have to go by strict mandate to maintain that, and we've done that job. I keep seeing references made to the dredging that's been done and how well it was done in Boston, and how well it was done in Long Island, how well it was done in Rhode Island. My biggest emphasis here is a long-term effect of dredging. I don't care how well you place it. When you're dealing with bad spoils and you keep putting them in the water, you are taking a chance of destroying that resource. And all three of those places I just named have no lobster fishery left.
Okay, thank you, sir. Please, you must answer the first part of that, Barbara. And,
Hello?
You have to sit there.
Hi. So the question you asked is, why are we doing this study? I mentioned in the, this is a federal navigation channel. That means that this is a federal resource. Okay? That means not, it's not a private resource. It's a federal channel open to all. This is authorized by Congress under an act. It's a federal channel. We're a federal agency doing a federal study.
Oil boats coming in there, say Irving on them. They federal government boats.
Throughout the, as you'll realize, if you go to any ports with federal channels throughout the country, who do you think, are there any federal ships? No.
Okay.
So what you have is federal navigation channels allowing commerce into the United States. And this is true across the country. Portland, Eastport, the boats coming in, yes, they are private, that's true, but so are they across the country. This is a federal navigation channel. We're doing a federal improvement project.
Okay, and the second part of that question with regards to the economics, the support of transportation.
Sure, and thank you for the question. Again, I think it's great that everybody's here. We're voicing concerns and asking questions. Just want to comment on the private aspect, on the economics of what you're talking about. I think everybody's committed to the public fisheries and maintaining the safety and standards and quality, as well as the accessibility of those fisheries. When it comes to the vessels that come into ports and why ports are so key, if we don't maintain piers and deep water frontage for vessels bringing in fuel, fuel prices will go up. And private sector, those are private sector entities, and even though they're larger ships and fewer of them as compared to a fleet of fishing ships. Portland, 90% of Portland shipping traffic actually comes in at 45 feet. And so that's not actually...
Well, I talked to the scientists down there, they're at 35 feet.
Right. But I'm just answering the question, that the reality is those private sector entities that are bringing in the fuel, if we lessen our competitive capability to handle deeper ships that carry that fuel, it will ultimately result in an increased cost for the gas at the fuel pumps, the diesel for our boats, and heating oil for our houses. That's
okay,
just the
thank
economic.
Thank you. Just a reminder, we're not here to enter into discussion, and I invite you after this to sit down and... Sir, there are a lot of people... Yes, sir, we understand that. There are a lot of people that wish to speak, and I thank you. And later on, I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to talk to somebody on the panel. Andy.
Thank you. I'm Rock Alley, president of the Maine Lobstering Union. You spoke earlier about having a meeting with the Maine Lobstermen Association. I would like to be included in that meeting concerning the lobster industry. We have a lot of fishermen that are involved in this area, Vinyl Haven, North Haven, and some other communities. I can't understand why you can't figure out that by dumping all of this material on top of lobster beds, you're not going to affect the lobster industry. You're gonna bury them. You stated you would come back and do a survey later and check and see how they're looking. You're not going to find them because you've buried them. And then you're going to dump more material on top of it. The lobster industry is just coming to a peak right now. We've worked hard on this industry over the years to get where we are. And for you to destroy some of this industry by dumping this material is the wrong thing to do out in the middle of this bay. I don't understand why you can't haul it overland and get rid of this material. That's the way it should be taken care of. Leave this industry alone.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Is there a comment and response, Steve?
Thank you, and those are very valid concerns, and that's actually a couple parts of that. One of the comments that we traditionally get is just haul this upland, and this is one where if you do the math, boy, there would be a lot of folks that would say don't haul it upland, because I mean, we're talking tens of thousands of loads of truck material. It's doing the math in terms of the volumes of it. The other piece is, and as I mentioned in my presentation here, I totally agree with you. Wherever we place that material, we clearly impact that system. In that, you know, and that's why we try to tighten up that circle as much as we can and limit that impact as a percentage-wise in terms of the area that's lobstered here. You know, it's a very, very small percentage of the bay which is actually being affected, and that's what we do. We would not put it on eelgrass. We would not put it on hard bottom habitat. Those are both areas that I believe are important to the lobster industry, even if you're not actively fishing there, but they're part of the whole cycle of lobstering. And those are areas where we know that they wouldn't come back quickly. You know, we lose hard bottom habitat forever. The eelgrass takes a long time to come back. And so those are areas that we specifically avoid. And so really, our long record of a track record has been soft bottom habitats that, yes, you impacted initially, but they come back in afterwards. And actually, we've got anecdotal information of a number of sites where, because you place this material and now it's kind of all turned over and you've got a lot of things that got, you know, worms and things that got crushed in sort of the dropping, you get a lot of lobsters kind of coming in initially to kind of check out the buffet that's there. And so again, in areas, and I recognize your statement about the lobster industry further to the south, and I would say that there are a lot of other factors which go into it. It's a sad state in terms of the lobster industry, but we've seen no connection between the dredging component and sort of the declines in lobstering there.
Thank you. Next comment, question, concern?
What about the meeting?
Please give me your name and just leave it with me, and I'll get it to the people that are putting this meeting together.
Thank you.